38. Ashton. I push him out of the way and run out of the bathroom into the bedroom, where I come to another stop, when I see the white and black mask still standing in the doorway. Arms crossed over his chest and legs spread wide, he takes up the entire space. His laughter fills the large room, making heat run up my spine. He pushes the mask up and over his head, and his eyes meet mine.
Hello, sweet cheeks. It's been far too long.
Cashton Landon Pierce stands before me, and I watch with watery eyes as he raises his arms and grips the top of the doorframe, blocking my only exit. His t-shirt rises in the process, showing me more ink on his defined V underneath the hem. My heart is in my throat, my breathing erratic. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. My chest is so tight. He leans forward and his eyes drop to my bare feet and run up over my body. It doesn't matter. They've seen me naked. I've allowed all three of them to fuck me, use me.
I must say you look good, Ash.
He laughs as if it's some inside joke that only he and Saint know. His eyes meet mine briefly before he looks over my head and smirks, reminding me that Saint is still in the bathroom. I turn to run in the opposite direction, but Saint is already at my back. My very naked body runs into his, and he wraps his hand around my throat before I can even make a sound. The action lifts me off my feet. My hands come up and grip his wrists, twisting the skin the best I can, trying to get in a breath.
How's it feel to be the devil's newest toy?
Cashton asks in my ear.
To know he's going to rip you to pieces with his bare hands.
I kick out my feet, and they hit Saint's shins, but he doesn't release me. Instead, he yanks my face into his, and drool runs out the corner of my lips because I can't swallow. His eyes search mine before he pulls his lips back with disgust. He shoves me backward, letting me go, and I fall on my ass. Rolling over, I get up onto my hands and knees, coughing. My body convulses as I suck in a breath. Fuck, I've still got the sedative they gave me in my system. I'm useless right now. Cashton grabs my hair and yanks my head up as Saint crouches down in front of me. His hand cups my face, thumb running over my parted lips.
Just like old times,
he says with the slightest smirk on his lips. No.
This is your hell now, Ashton, and your life sentence starts today.
My teeth grind, and I lift my chin. Opening my mouth, I'm about to tell him to go fuck himself, but I pause when he reaches out and cups my face.
The next time you leave me, it'll be in a body bag because I put you there.
His words are spoken softly, lovingly, but they make my blood run cold. With that, he stands. Cashton lets go of my hair, and I watch through watery lashes as they exit my room, slamming my door shut.
Saint. I watch her heavy eyes fall closed, and her body relaxes into the leather table. I softly run my tatted knuckles through the tears that have fallen down the side of her once flawless face. She's out once again. When she wakes up this time, the world she's known will no longer exist. I've waited so long for this day. Honestly, I should be more excited than I am. My wife is back where she belongs, in my hands. She looks the same as I remember. Her hair is a little darker, but that doesn't change her appearance much. My eyes drop to scan her naked body, the one I used to own. The brand is still clear as day. I hated giving it to her the way I did, but I'm glad she had a reminder of me all these years, every time she looks at it. My fingers run over her hard nipples. I dropped the temperature in this room just for her arrival. I wanted it as cold as my heart is for her. I have to admit I like that she got them done. They look good. Walking to the end of the table, I grab the edge and shove her legs apart. The table opening up for me. From the waist up, it's one piece, but her legs are strapped down individually for this very reason. The door opens and I smile at the doctor who is here to help me out with what I'm about to do to her. Devin goes to work with starting her IV. She needs to remain unconscious for quite some time. What I have planned for her will take most of the night. I remove my devil mask, placing it on the counter and grabbing the rolling chair. I plop down on it, making my way over to the table and slide between her parted legs. Her pussy is wide open for me. She let that piece of shit fuck her when she got home. I watched it on my phone. I would have been there sooner and stopped it, but I didn't think she'd actually let him touch her. They'd been broken up for months. Stupid on my part for thinking that. She allowed a complete stranger to fuck her, so of course she was going to give up her pussy to the guy she lives with. From here on out, for the rest of her pathetic, miserable life, I'll choose which cock fucks her and how they use her. She's mine and will belong to me until the day she dies. She's ready, sir, Devin tells me as he taps the IV in place and looks at me. I roll closer and reach out, grabbing what I need from the cart that sits next to me, and smile to myself. When you wake up, sweetheart, you will know where you're at and who the fuck owns you. Cashton and I exit her bedroom and walk down the hall as Hayden's door flies open. A petite redhead rushes out into the hall, not even bothering to shut his door. She's carrying a pair of high heels and a bra in one hand, and a cell phone in the other. Her wide, tear-filled eyes meet mine before going to Cashton's.
Your friend is fucking crazy,
she cries. You should be more careful who you go home with, Cash informs her. My eyes drop to her white club dress. The cuts on her neck have blood running down and soaking up into the fabric. She's shaking like a leaf on a tree. Her knees are bruised and she has rope burns on her wrists and ankles. You told him you could handle it, I remind her. The woman has been trying to get into Hayden's bed for months now. He finally caved and, well, it doesn't look like it was up to par with what she wanted him to be. We've all got our demons, and we each let them play in different ways.
Fuck you!
She hisses, running past and knocking her shoulders into both of us. Cashton turns to watch her skip the elevator and rush down the stairs while I enter Hayden's bedroom. It looks like a tornado hit it, with the sheets ripped off the bedding and broken glass on the floor. A couple of empty bottles of vodka, and it smells like weed. The rope is still wrapped around each bedpost and puddled on the carpet. There's a knife on the nightstand, and the curtains have been ripped from the floor-to-ceiling windows showcasing the woods. I sigh, running a hand through my hair. Cashton enters and grunts at the scene. You did the right thing, he reassures me. Hayden isn't ready for Ashton to return. Her leaving left us all with very bad tastes in our mouths. We each paid for her freedom, but Hayden was dished out the worst when it came to our training. No one leaves carnage, ever. Doesn't matter why or how you got here. Once you're brought in, you die here. We had to be taught a lesson. One we'll never forget and one we'll pass on to her as well. Cashton slaps me on the back. I'll call David. He pulls out his cell and I make my way out of Hayden's room and down the hall to the elevator. Making my way to the 7th floor, I walk toward the open door, hearing a feminine voice.
Talk to me, Hayden.
The therapist says to my brother as I approach the door. It's open, so I peek into it, leaning against the doorframe to see him standing at the floor-to-ceiling windows, hands shoved into the pockets of his jeans. She faces the back of him while sitting in the white leather high back chair. They're clueless I'm present.
What are you thinking?
She goes on. He snorts, turns, and walks over to her. His stride is confident and slow. She straightens, her legs crossing as she looks up at him. If she wasn't already fidgety, her eyes would give her away. Hayden is the biggest one out of the three of us, 6'7" and 250, covered in ink and usually blood that isn't his. Men fear him, and women beg him to fuck them. He places his hands on both armrests and leans over to where his face is in front of hers. You don't want to know what I'm thinking. His eyes drop to her tits that her fitted button-up white silk blouse shows off.
I'm here to help you,
she whispers, rubbing her sweaty palms softly down her black pencil skirt. Poor girl didn't know what she was getting into when she recently took the job. She's the sixth one over the last 3 years. Help me, he asks as if that's a foreign idea, unreachable. Do you really mean that, Charlotte? Hayden plays with her. She swallows nervously, her eyes dropping to stare out the window. Unable to make eye contact, she softly answers.
Of course.
I know what you can do. The corners of his lips pull back, showing a shadow of a smirk. Her eyes move to his, widening as her breathing accelerates.
What?
Let me rip off your clothes. She gasps. I'll tie you up in a tight little ball, suspend you from the ceiling so that your cunt, mouth, and ass are easily on display for me to fuck. Her pretty face pales at the thought of him touching her in such a way. If she were wearing pearls, she'd clutch them. He goes on, feeding off her fear like a fire does oxygen. Once I'm done violating you, I'll sit down, have a smoke while I let you hang there, and watch my cum leak from your stretched out and overused holes like the worthless whore you're meant to be. She's trembling, her back pressed into the chair, praying it swallows her up from the big bad man who wants to use her like a sex doll. I can't promise you'll like it, but it'll make me feel better, he adds. Still want to help me, dollface? He releases the armrest with his right hand and places it on her knee, making her jump, and a whimper escapes her nude-painted lips. Hayden, I say, announcing my presence. He gives a rough laugh, pushing off her chair, and she stands to run out of the room, pushing me out of the way. Hayden goes back to the windows. There's nothing around for miles, just woods, more woods and mountains. The Spade brothers, our fathers, once thought that was enough to keep the prisoners contained, but Ashton proved them wrong, so we added extra precautions to make sure no one ever escapes again, including us. Not like we'd ever walk away from carnage, no matter how much we want to. We brought her in to help you, I remind him. She can't, he growls. You don't even let her try, I argue. I think a part of her wants to fix him, even though she understands he's not broken. He's just a man with demons. Unless she's on her knees, she's useless, he mumbles. Cash called David. David is a pimp, and the women he loans out are as close to therapy as Hayden's ever going to get. At least they seem to help for a little bit. When you're willing to pay for sex, you get to do whatever you want. Case in point. I was balls deep inside Ashton not even 48 hours ago, and she had no idea who I was, just a man willing to pay to use her body. She'll be giving it to me for free from now on. Is she here? Hayden asks, ignoring my previous statement. Yeah, Cashton and I arrived with Ashton yesterday morning, but we hadn't seen Hayden until now. I kept her sedated for quite some time. I wanted her to heal somewhat before she awoke and realized her life was forever changed. I have plans for her, and I can't start fulfilling them until she's ready. His hands fist as he whispers, "You shouldn't have brought her back." I run mine through my hair. She's here for us to use. You, we all deserve our revenge. I once loved Ashton, but I let her cloud my judgment. It made me soft and almost got my brothers killed. I won't make that mistake again. He turns around to face me. I'm going to kill her, he growls. Don't you get that? If I touch her, she's dead. He takes in a deep, calming breath. And the worst part of that is she doesn't deserve it. He hangs his head and shakes it. She's not responsible for what happened once she was gone. She left us, I grind out. Just thinking about her running from me and getting away with it makes me want to kill some unlucky bastard. We got lucky, or I probably would have never found her. I hate to admit it, but my wife hid well. No, she left you. She never belonged to Cashton or me. She was yours, and you let us borrow her. Big difference. I did. I got off on watching my brothers get off. She loved it, and that's what turned me on the most. She was mine to use, but she was also mine to loan out. Now she's under our roof, and the three of us will make sure she's always on her knees. Well, she's ours now, I say, just as Cashton enters. I sent a car for the girls. They'll be here soon, he announces. Hayden gives us his back once more and stares out the windows, watching the clouds roll in. It's supposed to storm its ass off for the next few days. The thought makes me smile. I love to watch the world go dark. I walk into our office and sit behind my desk. The first thing I do is pull up the camera footage on my computer. Ashton stands in her bathroom, hands on her stomach, while she stares at herself in the mirror. Tears run down her cheeks while her fingers lower to her brand. Even though she's had it 4 years, it was more of a reminder of where she came from. Now, it's a reality. I placed a tracking device in her while she was out this time. She'll never get away from me now. Sedation at the time was the best option because I didn't want her to know just yet who had her or what was happening. Seeing the look on her face in the bathroom when her eyes met mine was worth the wait. She takes a few steps back, her naked body shaking with the sobs as tears run down her face like the rain that hits the windows at my back. She's a sobbing mess, and it makes me smile. Cry for me, sweetheart. The door opens to the office, and I look up to see Cashton enter. He plops down at his desk to my left and looks at me. The girls arrived. At least they'll keep Hayden busy for the day. I snort. Maybe, if he doesn't kill them. We can only hope. He picks up the remote to the TV on his desk and turns on the 70-inch screen that's anchored on the far wall. A friend of ours appears, standing outside of his business. Blackout is written in black letters behind him, and his wife, who stands next to him, her hand on her belly. It's not noticeable yet, but she's expecting. She's got the biggest smile on her face when he reaches down and grabs her right hand as he addresses the large gathering of reporters. He wants the world to know that she is his everything. I get it. He gave up his life for her and almost ended up losing everything he loves. Sitting back in my seat, the news goes to a commercial and I pick up my cell, dialing his number. Saint, what's going on? Tyson Crawford answers on the second ring. Just saw you on the news, thought I'd call and check in. My Spade brothers and I don't have many friends, but Tyson is about as close as they come. He chuckles. That's like the fifth time they've played that clip. I knew I could count on them to get my point across. I almost laugh at his choice of words. I knew there was a reason he allowed his wife to be seen. How's the build going? I ask about Blackout. Faster than I expected. Opened last week. Before I can say anything, he asks, find what you were looking for? My eyes drop to my computer screen that still has Ashton pulled up in the bathroom. She's got the water running in the tub. I did. Thanks for that, by the way. If he hadn't handed over Whitney, I'd still be looking for her. He snorts. Whatever I can do to help.
Tyson?
I hear his wife in the background entering the room. I'll let you go. Just wanted to call and see how things were going, I add, not wanting to keep him. Come by the club. Bring the guys. Drinks are on me. I nod to myself, watching Ashton step into the bathtub. Yeah, we'll take you up on that. We hang up, and I see Cashton staring at me. What was that about? He asks. Tyson, I stand, pocketing my cell. He invited us out to Blackout. He types away on his computer. I'm always up for a night out. That night, Tyson messaged me a picture of Ashton on her stomach with her hands tied behind her back and tears running down her face saved her life. At the time, I was grateful for that. But a month later, I was lying on the floor bleeding because she shot me, like her brother she chose herself. I should have seen it coming, but I was blinded. The Lords assumed she might have been dead, and in a sense she was. Still is. She had to live a life as someone else after she escaped carnage, but not here. Not this time. She'll be Ashton, my little whore who will beg me. And I'll be the man I should have been all along, a ruthless lord with a pet to play with. Standing from my seat, I exit the office and take the elevator up to the birdcage where all of our rooms are. We have houses on the property, but we stay here most of the time. It's just easier that way. Carnage never sleeps, so neither do we. Getting off the elevator, I pass my room along with Cashton's and Hayden's. All the walls are soundproof, so he could be stabbing someone to death in there and I wouldn't hear a fucking thing. Not like I'd stop him if he was. When he's in a mood, you step back and let him do whatever the fuck he wants. I walk up to her door and turn the knob, entering because I own the fucking place. Coming to a stop, I look over the room. An odd feeling falls over me, knowing that she's on the other side of the closed bathroom door, naked in the bathtub with my brand on her body and tracking device in her skin. She'll never be able to leave me again. I've dreamed of this day ever since I woke up and was told she shot me and ran, leaving me for dead. I hate that I still have feelings for her. Don't get me wrong, I hate the bitch. But I also love her in that I'm going to rip your heart out and hang it on my wall so no one else can have it kind of way. Walking across the bedroom, I enter the bathroom to find her sitting in the tub just like she was on my computer screen. She's got her legs pulled up to her chest and her forehead rests on her bent knees. Her wet hair sticks to her hunched over back and shoulders. She's crying, and the sound makes me smile. Leaning my ass against the countertop, I cross my tatted arms over my chest and wait for her to realize I've entered the room. If she wants to survive here, she needs to start paying attention to her surroundings at all times. Our fathers no longer run this place. We do, and we'll make sure that she endures every sick and twisted thing that any other prisoner would.